This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome
to Utopia.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome into the Utopia Football Podcast. This time of year, I would say probably masquerading as well as an overall Houston sports podcast. Very light on news, but no shortage of content and questions to get to. We're going to do a mailbag today. Good to be with you. I am Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610. You can hear us 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. weekdays on the Odyssey app, YouTube, Twitch, terrestrial radio, still a thing. So you can hear us there as well. So appreciate you tuning in. We got a lot to get to here in the mailbag. Several mailbag questions in and a few bits of Texans news that we will get to. Before we get into any of that, a quick reminder, subscribe, rate, review. As I go on the, there we go. Yeah. On the video stream, if you're watching on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button for the podcast. We really appreciate that as we continue to try to grow this thing in what will hopefully be a continued ascension for the Houston Texans heading into a very interesting offseason here. The decision on Stephon Diggs, at least to extend him prior to February 17th, is in the books. He will be a free agent. And doesn't mean he won't be back with the Texans, but we'll dig into that a little bit, and then we've got some mailbag questions to get to. A reminder, if you want to hit me with a mailbag question, good time of year to get in emails about stuff that we couldn't get to during the season because there's actual football, houmailbag@gmail.com. You can see it at the bottom of the screen there, houmailbag@gmail.com is how you get in touch with me on the email. So as far as news goes with the Texans, let me promote something real quick. Two things. One, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, I'm recording this Tuesday around lunchtime, we will have Texans Executive Vice President and General Manager Nick Caserio on with us on Payne and Pendergast tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. So we got a lot to get into with Nick as far as the draft goes, free agents, the Texans' own free agents, as well as he probably can't comment on any specific free agents they intend to pursue from other teams. We will have Nick on tomorrow, and that should be good. At 7:30, we usually go about 40 minutes or so with him, commercial-free. So this is good. This is a great time of year to talk to the GM of any NFL team when you're getting ready for free agency and the draft. The combine is next week. So we wanted to make sure that we got Nick on the air before he left to go to Indianapolis for the combine. Speaking of next week, the other thing I want to promote, Seth Payne and myself and Adam Spolane and our boss, Parker, we will be in West Palm Beach covering Astros spring training. The first full week of games, spring training games, are next week. So, man, there is a lot to really want to get into and sink our teeth into and watch when it comes to the Astros and spring training. So we'll be there all week long. We'll be reporting live from the games. We will be reporting live from the clubhouse. Typically, they give interviews with some of the players in game during the games during spring training. So there will be no shortage of video and on-air content that we'll be getting that'll be Astros related. Big thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending us there. They're sponsoring the trip there. Exclusive Furniture, of course, one of the sponsors for our Super Bowl trip to New Orleans a couple weeks ago. And obviously, they're very happy with how things went there. So they're sponsoring our spring training trip as well. So we're looking forward to headed to West Palm Beach for a little baseball. So those are the two promotional things. I would say just as far as the Texans go, the only real bit of news Texans related is that, yeah, indeed, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that there was no contract extension for Stephon Diggs prior to Monday afternoon. So Stephon Diggs is a free agent. His contract voids. The Texans take a $16.6 million cap hit. I don't know how many people had known about that, but the Texans, the way they had structured Diggs' deal, they had taken a 4-year deal with very little guaranteed money and basically took all that guaranteed money and chunked it into a 1-year deal. However, they only recognized about $6 million of that $22 million or so in 2024. They've shoved the rest of it into what they call voidable years. And for like, you know, 4 empty dummy years, they were able to park money there. A lot of teams do this. The Super Bowl champion Eagles have roughly $400 million parked in future dummy voidable year type stuff. It's basically football's version of a credit card. The problem is that when you get rid of the player who has the money shoved into future years, it all comes back into the present. So that $16.6 million is on the Texans cap right now. Stephon Diggs is going to become a free agent. The Texans are operating right near the cap right now. They've got a couple million in cap space. Now they can open up cap space by restructuring people's deals, cutting guys. That'll probably be a big topic, I would imagine, over the next few weeks as the start of the league year is second week of March, I want to say. And that's when free agency will begin. There are a handful of Texans that I think will probably be cut. Maybe a few that get asked to restructure their deals, not necessarily take a pay cut, but restructure, you know, turn salary into signing bonus, and you can spread that bonus out over a number of years. The Texans are reaching the point where they're not one of those teams anymore that just doesn't spend a whole lot on players, so they got a bunch of cap space. They're going to have some expensive guys. They already do have some expensive players on the team. This is sort of a new era of cap gymnastics for Nick Caserio. They haven't operated with a cap like this probably since the first couple of years that Nick was here and he was cleaning up Bill O'Brien's mess. So that'll be a huge topic over these next few weeks is who stays, who goes, who takes a pay cut, who gets a restructure, how much space are they looking to open up, what aisle are they going to be shopping in free agency, the Texans, are they going to be shopping in the big ticket aisle like they were last year? I don't know that they will. You can make almost anything happen still in the NFL if you're not paying a quarterback, and they're not paying CJ. I mean, they're paying CJ Stroud, but they're not paying him what they're going to be paying him, you know, a couple years from now. So you can make almost any singular thing happen if you want to. It'll be interesting to see what the Texans see as their needs, which needs are better served to be filled through the free agency. I'm a bigger believer in filling the interior of the offensive line through kind of mid-tier free agents, just solid guys that can do their job. And then drafting, you know, drafting upside at other positions, particularly wide receiver. I think there's going to be some decent wide receiver talent where the Texans are picking. That'll be another question for the offseason. Do the Texans stay at 25? They didn't last year. They traded out of 23, I think it was, 23 or 27, whichever one it was. Well, no, they had actually, it was 23 because they had already traded 27 in the Will Anderson trade the year before. So yeah, do they do what they did last year? Move out of the first round, move down into the 40s and get an extra pick out of it. They turn that extra pick into Stephon Diggs. We can talk about that in just a second. But I thought moving back last year worked out well for them. I think maybe they kind of moved back a little too far to get the defensive lineman that they wanted, but they wound up with Kamari Lassiter, who's got Pro Bowl type potential at a premium position. So that worked out pretty well. This is a draft that reportedly players 20 through 60 are very, very similar is what I've seen from some of the experts out there. Texans are picking at 25. If that's the case, if you got a gaggle of players like that, you never want to be picking at the top of that. They're picking at the top and at the bottom of it. They have 25 and pick number 50-something, 57, I think, something, 59 maybe. So we'll see what they end up doing. But we'll have Nick Tesserio on tomorrow to talk about all that at 7:30. 7:30 Wednesday on Payne and Pendergast. You can listen on the Odyssey app. As far as Stephon Diggs goes, I would bring him back. I would still pursue him in free agency. There's an article on ESPN today that has a top 50 free agents with the best possible fit for each one. You know, for T. Higgins is number one on the list. They see the best fit for him in free agency as the Commanders. Sam Darnold's up there, best fit for him, Raiders, so on and so forth. Stephon Diggs is 25th on that list. Best possible fit, according to ESPN, Houston Texans. Come back to Houston. And he may very well. You know, I think there's an element to Diggs wanting to become a free agent and get his price tag up for him, for his own purposes, for his own money, be signing when his knee is healthier or fully healthy. He's still rehabbing his ACL tear. So with every day that goes by with his rehab, he gets healthier and healthier and presumably less risky as a free agent. So I totally understand Diggs wanting to go test his value. I think the Texans are going to always be there if he wanted to come back to Houston. I think he would be signing a deal that is one that you can, if you need to, clear out space for. I don't think he's signing. His days of being in the upper, like, you know, the tippy top of the wide receiver market are definitely over. But I think he can still be a really good weapon with C.J. Stroud and obviously with Nico Collins on the other side. So as far as the overall Diggs trade, let's pretend that the book is closed on Stephon Diggs. And if we had to apply a grade to it right now, I would give it a C+, B-. And the grade being in that range, because I think when Stephon Diggs was on the field, he played really, really well for the Texans. But obviously, he only played 8 games. And even though he only played 8 games because of bad luck, bad injury luck, guy had never been hurt ever before, and now he tears his ACL. You can't ignore the results. Like, it's, you know, losing Diggs may have cost you a longer season. If you had Diggs, you might have been playing in the AFC title game. So you can't ignore the fact that he wasn't on the field. Where I don't give it a really low grade like some do. I know they gave up a second round pick. It was an extra pick that you got in the trade with Minnesota where you move back. You got Kamari Lassiter, who I think if you redrafted the 2024 draft would be a first round pick, you know? And so you were using extra capital that you got in that deal to get it. So I'm not as attached to that second round pick as I would be if it were your own second round pick. This is just how I grade things. And then I think too, that I think most people thought the trade made sense at the time. The experts out there were putting the Texans up in among the top 5 or 6 teams on the odds board for the Super Bowl. The world stopped on Get Up and First Take when this trade was made. So the trade was very highly regarded around the league at the time, and it made sense. Like, you could see what the Texans were doing. Stephon Diggs, an aging and maybe slightly overpriced player, but still very productive for a second round pick. Even if it's for a 1-year rental, you were going for it. You know, you thought you were a Super Bowl contender. Now, so part of the methodology and the thought process behind it matters in the grade to me. I don't think they were doing anything that was considered at the time super risky or super dumb. They were doing things that a lot of teams in their position with cap space and extra draft picks would do. This wasn't the DeAndre Hopkins trade, where the second that trade was announced, you knew it was a shitty trade. So that's the good end of my grade is based on the methodology, the thought process behind it, the fact that Diggs was good when he was healthy and on the field, the fact that the offense, you could tell how important he was to the offense by what it looked like without him. So I kind of, like, from that standpoint, if I'm just grading those things, the thought process, the production when he was out there, what he meant in the locker room, he was voted a captain of the team, those things are all an A- or an A. The end result was probably a C or C-, maybe, because he misses 8 games and you get knocked out in the same round of the playoffs you were in last year, and you kind of went for it with this deal. So I kind of split the difference on those, and that's why I say C+, B- is where I'm at on the Diggs trade. I hope he's back. We'll see. All right, let's get to your mailbag questions and have a little fun here. Again, you can email the podcast at HOUmailbag Tanish@gmail.com. Tanish from UT Austin. Tanish, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. T-A-N-I-S-H. Said, huge fan of yours. Been listening to you and Seth for a long time. Thank you. Appreciate that. If the Texans want to ascend from a four seed in the divisional round to a second seed in the AFC title game, it's going to take more than just improvements to the roster. I believe it's going to take an overall culture change. Okay, well, this is interesting. D'Amico's done a great job of instilling a find-a-way-to-win culture. That'll always get us winning seasons for the most part. But if we want to ascend to the next level, we're going to need a smack-you-and-blow-you-out culture, which I would argue the Ravens and the Bills have. Do you believe Nick Caley is the guy to make this change, or is it going to take more changes in the Texans organization and roster? That is a great observation, Tanish. That is something I've been saying for a long time. I'll frame it, what you just said, with the way that I've been normally framing it, which is I think the Texans have an excellent survival instinct as a team. I don't think they have a good killer instinct as a team. Can Nick Caley change that? Absolutely. I think one of the biggest reasons why it plays out that way is the offense goes into these lulls in the second half of games where they fall asleep. You know, I think Nick Caley, we'll see. Can he do it? Yes. You know, now, how well does he do holding people accountable? How aggressive is he? You know, Bobby Slowick was not the most aggressive guy in the world. Is he a go-for-the-jugular guy? Is Nick Caley an offensive coordinator who would call the deep shot to Devontae Smith that essentially killed the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl and made it 31-0? There's a great video clip out there. If you guys haven't seen it, go out of your way to find it, where Kellen Moore, they get the ball back. It's 24-0. The Eagles get the ball back at about midfield. And Kellen Moore's pondering what play today. And Nick Sirianni's basically like, man, fuck it. Go deep. We score here. We win the game. And they did. One play, deep shot, Devontae Smith, game over. We'll see if Nick Caley is that kind of guy. I like all the things I'm hearing from him and about him. So can he help instill that in the Texans? He absolutely can with the way he calls a game and by coaching up an offense to just be simply more productive and allow the Texans to have the sort of firepower it takes to beat good teams by a couple of touchdowns. They were in position to do that a few times this year, and they just fell asleep in the second half. They were leading the Lions 23-7, and the Lions had no life. And then they lose that game. You know, so that's the thing, man. Like, is Nick Caley going to be an OC that prevents you from losing these games that you're not, that you know, in history, you know, 3% of teams allowed such and such to win when they, you know, had a +3 turnover, intercepted the ball 5 times or sacked the quarterback 8 times and had a pick 6. I absolutely think Caley can be a big part of that. And I totally agree, Tanish, with your observation. And it's a really good way to put it. D'Amico has done a great job of instilling a find a way to win culture. But I think even sometimes some of the ways he talks about games in the NFL, and he is one of those guys that likes to point out it's hard to win in the NFL. And I get it, but every weekend half the teams manage to do it. 50% of the league does manage to win games every week. So is it really, you know, is it hard? It's hard for everybody. Like, is it a hard job? Yes, but it's also hard for your opponent. Like, you're not paddling any more upstream than any other NFL team is. In terms of, like, they're not making rules to make it harder on the Houston Texans. Now, they may be enforcing rules to make it easier for the Kansas City Chiefs until the Super Bowl. All right, good email, Tanish. Don't be a stranger. And you're from UT Austin, means you're probably a college student. So keep your nose in the books, man. Go be a success. Go be great. Go be unstoppable. Don't take my job, though, all right? If you come taking my job, I'm going to call you a little punk, all right, Tanish? Got it? Sorry, if those of you listening, I'm staring into the camera with a death stare right now. All right. John Thompson emails in a couple questions. On the Viagra scale, how blue would you feel about seeing Myles Garrett on one side of the Texans pass rush and Will Anderson on the other side? Sky blue, as in it won't happen, or midnight blue, it's my Pornhub. Now, what scale of blue would I feel seeing that? I would feel midnight blue. If midnight blue, do they make midnight blue Viagra? Are there degrees of Viagra out there? I'm a blue chew guy, you know? So are there various degrees? I don't know. Maybe not. I just know blue chew is blue chew. That's all. So, yeah, I would be really excited to see it happen. Now, what do I think the odds are of it happening? Zero. I think there's no chance of it happening. So, like, Sky Blue, in terms of it, the actuality of it happening, like, won't happen. If it were to happen in my fantasy world, yeah, Will Anderson on one side and Myles Garrett on the other, sign me up. That's one of the only guys that you could consider a possible upgrade over Danielle Hunter, who I think is excellent. So, yeah. John also says, the Cowboys moniker of America's team has been running on fumes for years. With cool stories like Cooper DeJean, do you think Philadelphia could replace the Cowboys as the new America's team? I don't know. First of all, like, the Cowboys were America's team for all those years because people from all over the country that didn't have a team just climbed on the Cowboys bandwagon. And it was some excellent, excellent marketing by the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know that there is an America's team anymore. I think it's like a rotating thing where, like, I feel like if the Bills had been in the Super Bowl, they would have been America's team, at least for this postseason, you know, because they had just those four Super Bowls, and they've just been such, over the course of the last 20 or 30 years, there's been way more sadness at the end of Bills seasons than there's been joy. But no, I don't think, and by the way, Philadelphians, they're not, I can't imagine America wanting to climb on board alongside, hand in hand, elbows locked, kumbaya, with the people I saw at that parade the other day. Okay. And I'm allowed to say this. My mom was from Philly. My aunt and my mom's whole side of the family lives in Philly, and I love them all to death. But there's a lot of bad people in that Philly fan base. I'm just saying. There's a lot of good people, too. But they're a tough one to embrace. There's got to be at least some degree of likability.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With an America's team these days, I think. All right. Good email, John. Thank you. Bailey emails in, which Texans are now under the most pressure as a result of the hiring of Nick Caley? It can be a player, a coach, or even a front office person. Okay, I like this one. Let me think on that for 10 seconds. Because I might turn this into a post. This is a good, that's a good list to post. For those of you who don't know, I write for the Houston Press every day as well. I work like I'm broke, all right? I write for the Houston Press. I do my radio show every day for 4 hours. I do this podcast. Been doing some promotional stuff on my social media, make a little extra scratch. If you want to go buy some Mando, some body deodorant, head to toe body deodorant, mando.com, promo code Sean. All right. What were we talking about? Oh, okay. Yeah, I got it. All I needed was just to stall for a few seconds talking. I think I'll give you three players and a coach that I think are currently under the most pressure. Things can change depending on free agency and the draft and whatnot, but I think there's a good chance these are four that are under the most pressure as a result of the hiring of Nick Caley. I think number one, maybe number one on the list is Dalton Schultz. Caley's a former tight ends coach who made no bones about the fact. He said it on Texans All Access that you can basically tell the physicality of a team by looking at the physicality of the tight ends in the run game. Something to that effect. He's very big on tight ends being physical. And Dalton Schultz is not. He's not physical. He's not good at blocking. He was okay his first year. He was bad last year. Now, Dalton got his money. But in terms of just his role on the team, I think Dalton Schultz should feel under a lot of pressure to now start performing up to that contract. He did not last year. Number two, I'll do a coach here, Cole Popovich. Cole Popovich is under a lot of pressure now with the hiring of Nick Caley for a couple of reasons. One, the perception that they promoted somebody from within that had anything to do with last year's offensive line already puts that decision kind of under a serious microscope. That's number one. Number two, you know, a big reason why Cole Popovich got this job was because Nick Caley knew him. They worked together in New England for a couple of years. And that D'Amico himself said the fact that the two of them could hit the ground running was a reason why Cole Popovich was the right guy for the job, along with other things. You know, they obviously view Cole Popovich as a very talented young position coach. But I think this definitely amps up the pressure on him because there's probably a perception that he's Nick Caley's boy and that he's got the stigma on him of last year's offensive line. So that's number two. The other two players, these are just two marquee players that there's always going to be pressure. I think there's pressure on Nico Collins to stay healthy this year. That's not really a Nick Caley thing, but I'm going to throw him into this mix to answer who's it Bailey's question. There's Nico Collins has to figure this thing out where he's not pulling hamstrings and hurting ankles and things like that. His healthiest year was 2023, and I think he missed 3 or 4 games that year. So we can't have that anymore, especially with the way the wide receiver room looks right now. Now it may look a little different. I cannot imagine the Texans making any moves at wide receiver where you just don't miss Nico Collins. You know what I mean? Like they had Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell last year after Nico went out, and it was still going backwards as a receiving group. Now that also coincided with the offensive line just turning to complete shit weeks 7 through 9 of the regular season. But I would say Nico Collins, and then I'll throw CJ Stroud in there. Like there's always pressure on you. You're the quarterback. This is his second OC now. So there's that. I like the way CJ is going about this offseason so far. Not seeing him at the Pro Bowl, not seeing him on Radio Row. He did play in Travis Scott's softball tournament, but I didn't see any video of him leaving with Amber Rose. No disrespect to Amber Rose. seem like a sweet lady, a delicate flower. I just don't need you near our quarterback. That's all. So I think those would be the four. I mean, there's probably more that I can't, that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head. But in response to that question, those are the names that pop into my head. Thank you for the email, Billy. I believe you're a new emailer. Don't be a stranger. Chris in the ATL, not a new emailer, a regular. D'Amico is entering season three as a head coach in 2025. And personally, I think that it's a big prove it year for coaches. Yeah, third year is big. College, it's big, and NFL, it's big. Year three is the biggest. That's the biggest harbinger year, I think. In college, certainly, it used to be, at least till the portal, and now everything's all messed up. But when you got in there as a new coach, and year three was really the one, because then you got your program in place, and you got guys, and you couldn't transfer as easily back then. But I think that's fair to say, you know, even in the NFL, when you're trying to get a culture put together, year three. Chris says, I also like to think it's fair to compare his performance with the other coaching hires in 2023. Cool, let's do it. I see them, Chris says, I see them as a coaching class like in high school. And my scenario is we need to hand out yearbook awards to this class. God, Chris, you're a gem. Forget Reich because he flunked out, doofus. He did. He flunked out his first year. And now he's working at a convenience store or something like that. Here are the awards, and you pick one for each coach. All right, do we have a list of the other coaches from D'Amico's coaching class? Who was it? I got to write this down. It was D'Amico. It was Peyton. It was Gannon. I think there was only five coaches in that class. Who am I missing? D'Amico, Peyton, Gannon. Oh man, did you put this in here, Chris? Because I got to think this thing through. Who was it? Wasn't Gerard Mayo. He got fired after 1 year. Stefanski, no. I'm just spitting out names as I go through teams in my head. Peyton, D'Amico, Harbaugh was this past year. Antonio Pierce was this past year, and then Pete Carroll. So over in the NFC, wasn't Daboll, I can't believe, Chris, you're making me do this off the top of my head. I cannot believe you're making me do this because this is a great question. It wasn't Eberflus. It wasn't Campbell. It wasn't LaFleur. Seattle, no. Arizona, San Francisco, L.A. I know I'm going to come down to it. It's going to be like the very last team that I get to. Oh, was it Raheem Morris? I can't remember. Anyways, all right, screw it. I'm just going to do it with these three. Most likely to succeed, i.e. win a Super Bowl. I would say probably I'll give D'Amico that one of those three. I wish I knew who the other one was, God damn it. Because then I can answer the question fully. I'm going to look like a fool if there's a Super Bowl-worthy coach out there that deserves the attention. Let's see. Cam Newton. I'm seeing if I try to write it down anywhere. Anyways, okay. Most likely to live in their parents' basement, get fired, and never be a head coach again. I'll give that one to John Gannon just based on pew, 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 pew. Most popular, gets fired eventually, then hired immediately by another team. Boy, I don't know. Most likely to be in politics, Sean Payton, for sure. I'll give Sean Payton that one. Damn, man, next time tell me who the coaches are, because that's a great question. I need more information than that, Chris. All right? I fumbled around just now with a great question. All right, Henry, we got two more. Henry asked, what is your overall take on the Bregman contract, and how happy are you that there's drama already in Boston? I think Alex Bregman got a great contract. The $40 million a year is incredible. Made every second worth waiting for, I would imagine, for him. I can't get really angry at him for taking that contract. I love seeing drama that it's causing. For those who missed it, Rafael Devers is holding on to his position at third base like a branch on a raging river right now. And it's going to cause a lot of drama up there in Boston. If I had to guess, Alex Bregman's going to end up playing second base. Devers will play third. He'll continue to suck at it, Devers. He's an awful third baseman. But But Bregman, I'm not mad at Bregman. I was mad at Bregman as this process was getting stretched out and it looked like nobody was coming forth with a good offer. Like, come on, man, let's get this over with. But the Red Sox eventually did. He waited long enough. Scott Boras and Alex Bregman played it perfect. So I'm not mad at him, and I love the drama that it's causing. It's easier for me to watch players leave Houston if there's serious drama surrounding or caused by them in their next place. I don't think Bregman's causing any of the drama here other than by being good at third base. He's not going in there being an a-hole or anything. Like, when they got rid of Deshaun, I was ready to move on from Deshaun because of all the lawsuits. But the fact that it wound up how it did in Cleveland was maybe the biggest bonus ever for a trade of a player from Houston to somewhere else. And now we're in a spot where, hey, we wind up with C.J. Stroud. It's all good. You know what I mean? All right, last one, Jimmy and Friendswood. I like that we're getting a few non-football ones here. Sean, what's the last sports documentary you watched, and do you have any recommendations? All right, there's three that I've watched over the last couple of months. I'm going to count Mr. McMahon as a sports documentary, the six-episode piece. I think Bill Simmons produced it. I think it's on Netflix, about Vince McMahon, the life and times of Vince McMahon. I might go back and watch that again. It was so good. But I'm a wrestling fan. But I know a lot of non-wrestling fans who watched it and really, really liked it. They liked the Mr. McMahon documentary. Seth is not a wrestling fan at all, and he really liked it. It was pretty well done. I thought some of it, like, the more into wrestling you are, the more you can kind of see the holes in it or some of the things that are missing. But they're making you make a documentary like that. You're not doing it to cater to the top 1% of Mark nerds like me. You're doing it to cater to a broader audience that knows who Vince McMahon is but doesn't know his whole story. So I get it. So that one is good. And again, I would recommend that to non-wrestling fans as well. There's some really interesting business lessons in there. Dynasty, which is the New England Patriot 10-parter, which is on Apple TV, is very good. You don't have to watch every episode. They do a really good job of compartmentalizing the 10 episodes into almost self-contained. If you watch just one episode of that one, watch the Aaron Hernandez episode. It's its own thing. It's like episode 6 or 7 or something like that. You'll be able to tell on the grid on the guide. It'll tell you the episode about Aaron Hernandez, that you have teammates of his, former teammates of his, talking on the record with some stories that are holy shit. Yeah. So go, if you don't want to watch 10 episodes of what is a New England joy fest, and I get not wanting to do that, watch the Aaron Hernandez one. Not as joyful. And the most recent one I watched was actually over the weekend. Amy and I watched Chiefsaholic, a wolf in Chiefs clothing. Sorry, I had to cough. It's about that Chiefs super fan who dresses up in a wolf outfit, or used to when he wasn't incarcerated. He would go to Chiefs games, home and away, dressed up as a wolf, created this persona, did an amazing job creating a social media viral movement behind Chiefsaholic. And it turns out the guy was a serial bank robber. Jumping all these places he would go to for these games, he would rob banks. He got bailed out. A big chunk of that documentary, it's the first 15 or 20 minutes of it were you know, I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm watching Quarterback again, where it was, you know, the Netflix documentary about quarterbacks, where it was basically ended up basically being like a Chiefs highlight reel from the year they beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Like, I have no time for that. But it picks up steam when he gets arrested, and he gets arrested. He's able to get bailed out. The bail bondsman put an electronic bracelet around Chiefaholics. His name is Xavier Bubadar. Put an electronic bracelet around his ankle. So he was staying in a hotel somewhere watching the Super Bowl when the Chiefs beat the Eagles, and ended up slicing the bracelet off of his ankle and went on the run again. And was able to lay low for a good long time before he got caught in California. But the most compelling part of the whole thing to me is the bail bondsman, whose name is Michael Lloyd. A lot of it, the documentary is the documentary crew driving around with him trying to find Chiefsaholic. Like, because when you're a bail bondsman, if they escape, if they turn into fugitives, there's a drop dead date where if they're not found, you owe the courts a big chunk of money, and it was $80,000. And Chiefsaholic got caught literally on his second spree of bank robbing after his first arrest, got caught on the same day that Lloyd had scratched out the $80,000 check. It was so stressful. Lloyd was having to go through garbage cans at Target. He was able to find the guy's mom and trace her for a while. Like, you turn into basically a private detective, and you're not able to generate any more money because you're never in the office. You're trying to find this stupid Bubadar guy. So that one's pretty good, too. I don't know how good a job I did of explaining it just now. It's an incredible story. He's gone away now to jail for 17 years. But this is a dude who basically funded a gambling habit and his Chiefs road trips by just driving around the country robbing banks. It's incredible. They try to make you feel sorry for him a little bit because he grew up in kind of a broken home and he was homeless for a little while or whatever. I feel sorry for anybody who's homeless. I don't feel sorry for them if they get caught robbing banks. You know, like it's not a license to go steal things from innocent people and traumatize them with guns to their face in the bank. So there you go. Those are the sports documentaries I've watched. All right. I am done. I'm going to head out. A reminder, if you want to email HOUmailbag@gmail.com, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast as well. We'll have another episode later this week, maybe sort of a recap of our Caserio conversation from tomorrow. Again, 7:30 a.m. on Wednesday, Nick Caserio joins me and John Harris, Seth Payne, not John Harris. I'm thinking of calling John Harris to come on this podcast. Johnny, if you're watching, don't hit ignore if I call you. You won't. You never do. I love you. All right. I'm done. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Pass it on to a friend. Let's keep this thing going. And the offseason is here, man. It's going to be a fun few months with free agency in the draft and the combine coming up next week. We'll see you then.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.